March 3rd, 2023. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter, and Apple Podcasts. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker, Alexa. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on online digital radio. You can listen to us there. And also the sportscast.net. Go there for the latest and greatest. And you could follow us on Twitter at the sportscast1. And also check out check us out in our app, the Sportscast, which is there's been a lot of downloads lately. All right. So a lot of coaching changes this week, this past couple of weeks since the Super Bowl. People are going here and there, new offensive coordinators, things like that. Some are going to the college. And of course, new transitions. And of course, NFL Combine, where these new coaches have to decide the future of this organization, that one pick can make a difference. And join us all the way from upstate Pennsylvania, Jeff Favre. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Appreciate it, Santiago. Thanks for having me.
Jeff Favre, it's been about 2-3 weeks since the Kansas City Chiefs won their second Super Bowl, Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. I cannot say they're a dynasty yet. I think they need one more, but your thoughts over their win a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, I mean, going into the year, I think a lot of Chiefs fans felt like obviously they would still be in contention, but maybe this year's team would have a little bit of a step back just because, you know, you trade Tyreek Hill and you have a lot of youth playing. I saw a statistic where the Chiefs had the third most snaps played by first and second year players of any Super Bowl winning team in NFL history. And the other two teams went on to win three more Super Bowls after that. So, you know, I think a lot of us, we were optimistic, but still just thought they may not be quite as good as last year. And boy, you know, I won't speak for anyone else, but at least to my surprise, they just, I guess they, you know, last year, they just could not make a play in the second half of that Bengals game. And this year, both the offense and the defense made some timely plays that just didn't happen last year. So maybe, you know, obviously this year they weren't as explosive on paper because you can't replace Tyreek Hill. But strangely enough, they had more plays over 20 yards. They scored more points per game. So it just seemed as though the collective worked better together. I would also say, you know, the depth ended up being a little bit better than we anticipated. You know, guys like Justin Watson, Guy Moore, you know, they made plays late in the year, even if it was in limited situations, you know, when they came in due to injuries. So, yeah, I mean, and at the end of the day, I think Patrick Mahomes is, you know, it's all about Mahomes. And I mean, I know people get sick of hearing that, and I don't say it to be arrogant, but it's just he elevates guys around him. And at the end of the day, if he's healthy, or as we saw in the playoffs, even somewhat healthy, and his offensive line in front of him plays well, he's always going to have them in contention. I'm not saying they're going to win it every year, obviously. But, yeah, what a crazy year to be in a little bit of a step back year but end up winning the whole thing. It makes you feel as though that kind of makes up a bit for not finishing well last year.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, the whole Tyreek Hill leaving to Miami Dolphins, which was kind of a surprise in a way, and we'll talk about another surprise that happened, did not cut off guard the Chiefs. And then, like you were saying, they beat the Bengals. Bengals was your thorn. It was that team that you guys couldn't beat in the regular season or in the playoffs. And that's something that, you know, hey, once we got this thing over, we got the Eagles in down. But can we safely say the Chiefs are the best team of the AFC, like, for the next couple of years?
I mean, you know, the thing about the NFL is, I mean, yeah, they're going to be right there, right? It is hard to say, though. Like, I think they're the team to beat, absolutely. I know the Bengals went to the Super Bowl last year, but what the Chiefs have gone to the Super Bowl 3 out of the last 4 years and won 2 of them. So the Chiefs are the team to beat in the AFC. And for the foreseeable future, you know, that can change with injuries and different things. But, yeah, if Mahomes is healthy, if Kelsey's healthy, if they just don't have completely debilitating injuries, they're the team to beat in the AFC. The Bengals are going to be right there. You know, the Bengals are going to have roster continuity. They kept all their coaches together. I mean, the Bills, it feels as though the Bills better get their act together because, you know, they went all in. They went and got Von Miller. But they haven't drafted as well as what the Chiefs and Bengals have. And you just wonder, you know, is that going to catch up to them? So it feels as though the Chiefs and Bengals, I mean, the Chiefs are better than the Bengals, you know, mostly because, like I said, 3 out of the last 4 Super Bowls, yes, the Bengals got them 1 year. And then, you know, you have the Bengals and Bills, but I just think that the Bengals have more long-term staying power. The Bills, I mean, they have some decisions to make, you know. Josh Allen is a major talent, but I think their roster needs a little bit of a refreshing.
A reshaking, some say, losing all those staff members to the Giants had a lot of effect to it. And then they were blaming the Bengals, like most of the contracts were under rookie contracts. So they're doing a lot of excuses after that loss against the Bengals.
Well, and look, that's, you know, that's the challenge of the NFL. I mean, the Bengals, I guess this upcoming year, will still have Burrow and Chase under their rookie contracts. And then the next year, both of their first year salaries of whatever new deal they ink up will come to fruition. So it's certainly not, it's never easy. Like, the thing about the NFL is every team is good. And people think that that's, you know, just a saying or something that people say. But I mean, look, the Chiefs ended up winning the entire thing. And they went to overtime with the Texans late in the year. And in 2019, when they beat San Francisco in the Super Bowl, I believe it was their second to last game against the Atlanta Falcons in Kansas City, they won by 3. And, like, that Falcons team had been playing golf for 4 weeks. Like, they didn't want to be there. And so my point of saying that is just that the NFL is such a week-to-week sport. Like, I know every sport has pretty good parity, I guess, aside from baseball. Baseball just, you know, is very top heavy. But in the NFL, like, it's not an exaggeration to say, like, listen, if you don't play a clean game, the worst team in the NFL can literally beat the best team in the NFL. So I like what the Chiefs have going forward. They have 11 draft picks in this draft. So you just won the Super Bowl, and you have 11 picks.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, yeah, and they have some big decisions to make with Chris Jones and Orlando Brown, and then they have both Willie Gay and L'Jarius Sneed that are coming down to the last year of their contracts. So they have some things they need to get sorted out. There's no doubt about it. But relatively speaking, to win the Super Bowl and have that many picks, now you have to hit on the picks, obviously. But still, that's tremendous. That's tremendous foresight by their upper management.
Yeah, and having a great GM in front office. Who would you? I mean, which positions would you really tackle for this NFL draft this year? What's something that you know, want to kind of fill those holes a bit?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing is they need help on the defensive line. That's the biggest one, because you have, you know, Frank Clark, who knows if he'll be back. You have to think Carlos Dunlap is probably not back. You have Carl Laftis, who you drafted last year, and Mike Dana, who's a very good role player, but probably not the guy you want starting. So I would just say that I think they really need to refresh the defensive line, and they need that. You know, they really need that quick twitch, get off the ball, win quickly, pass rusher. Because Karlaftis, I think he's going to develop into a nice player, but he's always going to be a hustle guy and a power guy, high effort, which, look, that's great. But I think you need your dynamic guy. You know, they got to find that guy that can be a terror, because Chris Jones is that guy right now from the inside. But, you know, Jones, you can't expect your defensive tackle to have 15 and a half sacks. And I think he ended up with 19 sacks if you include the playoffs. So, you can't. I mean, look, I think Chris Jones is going to continue to be a really good player, a great player. But you have to surround them with guys, too. So I think that's important. And then I'll also say, look, both their tackles are free agents. It sure feels as though somebody's gonna pay Wiley more money to take him away. So you may have to replace your right tackle. And look, if Orlando Brown wants to be paid like one of the absolute premier tackles in the NFL, and I don't blame a guy for wanting to get his contract, but I would also say he's proven to be a very good tackle. I don't know that he's proven to be a great tackle. And if there's one way to derail what you're building, it's to give good players great contracts. The type of money the great players make.
Keep them happy.
I think that's how you run the train off the rails and mess it up, is you start overpaying guys. And I'm not trying to be negative towards him, because I do think he's a very good player. But I think if he digs his heels in the ground and says, I'm not signing unless you make me the top paid tackle in the NFL, then I think they have to look at, okay, should we give him the franchise tag and try to trade him? And then again, you come back to, okay, what are the team needs? Well, if you trade away your starting left tackle, you're probably going to have to look at moving up in the draft and using a premium pick on a left tackle if you decide to do that. So I think the Orlando Brown and Chris Jones contracts will give us some foresight into what the Chiefs are going to do. I think they need help at wide receiver, especially because it certainly feels. What's that?
They still need help for wide receiver, even though they got some acquisitions with Tony.
Well, yeah, and I mean, the thing is, it looks as though both Mecole Hardman and Juju Smith-Schuster are probably going to be leaving. I mean, it seems stranger things have happened, but it seems very likely both those guys are going to be leaving. So that was your number one and number three receiver from this past year. Now, Hardman was, he was hurt, I believe, half the year, close to half the year. So they kind of moved on and learned to live without him. And Tony has a similar, he's not exactly the same, but he does similar things. But I do think, look, they got away with not having an alpha dog receiver because Travis Kelce is just a dominant nightmare to stop. And look, I still think Travis Kelce has very productive years ahead of him, but he's going to be getting into his mid-30s here.
He's not getting any younger.
You can still expect him to be a very good player and a very productive player. I don't know that you can expect him to continue to need to be doubled almost every big play that gives all your receivers one-on-one. So at some point, you need to get that receiver that can really beat people. I really like Sky Moore. I really like Kadarius Toney. I think they're definitely good players. I just don't know that either one of those guys will ever be like that number one receiver that you can run an offense around.
How about the running game? Isaiah Pacheco had a great postseason. CEH was injured most of the year. Your thoughts over the running game? Is it good enough, or hey, we need to get him some more weapons there?
Well, it sure feels as though they're going to move on from CEH. Maybe they try to trade him for like a seventh round pick or something just to get anything out of him. I think he's just going to end up having to be let go. I don't think anyone's going to trade anything for him. From there you have McKinnon and you have Pacheco. Look, I love everything McKinnon has done, but he's on the wrong side of 30 now. That's tough for a running back. He's had knee injuries. He's had lower leg injuries. Everything he's brought to Kansas City has been awesome. But I don't think – I think he's a guy that you want as your third running back, play in big moments. I don't think you can give him 15 touches a game the whole way through the season. I think he'll get dinged up. And, look, I love Pacheco. Really played well. That violent running style is awesome, but we also know that it usually leads to a shorter shelf life. So my point with all of that is that I think you bring back McKinnon. Obviously, Pacheco is going to continue to be productive. But I would look for somebody. I would look for like that juicy running back, you know, the one that, you know, the quick twitch guy that makes someone miss and then you worry that he's going to house it. They could use a guy like that, especially if he can catch the ball out of the backfield. And it sounds like there's a few guys in this draft that could fit that mold. And look, when it comes to running back, there's always going to be, I shouldn't say always, but most years, there's going to be like a vet out there that would like to extend their career. I'm not necessarily saying they should sign Fournette. I don't think he's a great fit for what they want to do. But a guy like him, you know, someone that's maybe in their late 20s that just wants to play for a couple more years, you know, as long as they have a little bit of juice left in their legs, you know, maybe they find another guy like that to go with McKinnon.
He does have championship experience. One coaching change so far. Eric Bieniemy is headed to Washington Commanders, and Matt Nagy got promoted from quarterback coach to offensive coordinator. Let's start. We'll begin with Eric Bieniemy first, Jeff. Your thoughts of him leaving? He's been there. He was there for almost eight to 10 years with the Chiefs. Your thoughts on his departure and then joining with the Commanders?
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I liked about Bieniemy is it does. So, look, I don't absolutely love Andy Reid. Obviously, at this point, he's won two Super Bowls, one of the winningest coaches in NFL history. I think it's a good thing for Andy Reid to always have an offensive coordinator or somebody in his coaching staff that really likes to run the ball, because, you know, Andy's natural, his nature is let's just throw the ball all the time. So it's good to have somebody to offset that. So I think Bieniemy was good in that regard. I don't know. You never know how much of every story is, you know, completely true. Is it somewhat true? But, you know, that motion that was giving the Eagles defense so much trouble, apparently it was Bieniemy that came across that. So what that tells me is, you know, Bieniemy is a guy that's really paying attention. He's detail oriented. He's looking for any advantage that he can get. So they'll miss that. You know, he's a quality offensive coordinator. I think he was good for the team. I also think that when you look back, Nagy was the offensive coordinator the last year with Alex Smith, and I think he was a large part of Alex Smith having the best year of his career. So, look, the offense year to year is always going to look a little bit different. But, at the end of the day, the Chiefs offense is still going to be one of the top three offenses in the NFL. As long as Kelsey's healthy, they continue to provide weapons, and Mahomes is healthy, they're a top three offense. Like, that's not going to change because of the offensive coordinator.
Yeah. Bieniemy said during an interview with Adam Schefter this week on ESPN, he said that he had to follow the blueprint of Andy Reid. So he's saying that, like, he couldn't be creative or couldn't get out of the bounds of that blueprint of Andy Reid. And now with Commanders, he believes he can do so now.
Man, and it's unfortunate because, you know, Doug Peterson went and got a head coaching job and won a Super Bowl. He never had to get out from underneath Andy Reid. And Nagy, his first rat, you know, he went, and I believe he took the Bears to the playoffs back-to-back years after being under Andy Reid. And he never had to distance himself to get a job. But there's Bieniemy, and the Chiefs offense has continued to be dominant and have look great, be creative, you know, and yet he has to separate himself to go get a job. And I mean, look, I don't know everything that goes on behind the scenes, and I do see a lot of blowhards that pretend to know more than they do and think they have all the answers. And I definitely do not want to be one of those people. I will just say this. It doesn't feel quite right that he hasn't been able to, you know, to get a job coming straight from Andy Reid. But I will also say, NFL teams prioritize two things in this order. Number one is money. Number two is winning. But number two brings you more of one. So all these teams that interviewed Eric Bieniemy, if they felt that he would lead them to winning, they would hire him. I don't know why they don't feel that he would get them there, but there has to be something. There's a reason there. What that is, I have no clue, and I won't pretend that I do know.
What are your expectations for the new offensive coordinator, Matt Nagy?
Yeah, I mean, I tend to think I'd kind of like to see what they do in the draft before I really have a strong opinion on that.
He will have a say on that, probably.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if there's not, like, not a lot of difference, maybe just some new faces. I think it'll mostly be very similar. You know, I don't see wholesale changes.
Fair enough. Fair enough. We'll see what happens. Obviously, Chiefs are doing good. They got the main set of players, so we'll see what happens. Other coaching news, Jeff. Jonathan Gannon is the new Arizona Cardinals coach. Can you turn things around with Kyler Murray? Which he was a former offensive coordinator for the Eagles, by the way, guys. I mean, sorry, defensive coordinator.
Defensive. Yeah, so I general rule of thumb is, and I'm probably oversimplifying this, if you're going to be a defensive guy and you're going to go get a young quarterback, then you better get a prominent offensive coordinator and somebody you really trust. And you better have a really prominent quarterback coach that you really trust, someone that can really help them. Because I think historically, when you've put those defensive minds with young quarterbacks, that hasn't gone great. You know, Belichick and Brady worked out okay, but but, you know, a lot of times it doesn't seem to work. Yeah, yeah. A lot of times it doesn't seem to work out quite like that. But, you know, I just think – I hate to be – I think the Cardinals are a bit of a mess. I don't know that Murray's the guy. And
You are not the only person that thinks that.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the Bengals defensive coordinator was a lot more experienced. And just hearing him speak on the Pat McAfee show – I would say this, if I was a fan and I was cheering for a team that needed a new head coach, I would have hired the Bengals defensive coordinator. I don't want to butcher his last name. His first name is Lou, but I don't know. You hear him speak and then you hear Travis Kelce talk about
Anarumo. It's Italian, I think.
So just hearing Travis Kelce talk about how difficult it is to play against his team and how they communicate and how they play together. Like, those are all the things you want to get from a head coach. And so I was really surprised he got passed up, but we'll see. You never know. I mean, when the Eagles hired Sirianni, a lot of people thought they were insane. They couldn't believe they hired him. And here we are. They just, you know, they came up just short in the Super Bowl, and you have to think that they're going to have more opportunities to get back there.
Yeah. I wish the Bronco fans thought that was insane to hire Nathaniel Hackett, but that's another podcast to talk about. Shane Steichen to the Eagles. No, sorry. To the Colts as head coach. He came from the Eagles. Can he turn that Colt ship around? They might get a new quarterback.
I'm a big Chris Ballard fan, the GM of the Colts. I really, when he originally took that job, they had Andrew Luck, and I thought he would really get them turned around, and then Luck retires, and that just, you know, has created a lot to deal with. At the end of the day, the Colts are another one of those teams, until they get their quarterback situation figured out, unfortunately, the rest doesn't matter a whole lot. Like, you have to find your quarterback, and you know, they brought in the corpse of Matt Ryan last year, and that went how you expected it to go.
He might be offloaded.
It's time for him to retire, man. I mean, if you know, watching him play last year reminded me a lot of Ben Roethlisberger's last year. It was, you know, the nameplates on the back of the jersey, but if it wasn't for that, you wouldn't have any idea who that was playing. You know, they just look, and it, look, age is not kind to any of us. All right, so I'm not trying to mock these guys. Like, I can't run and jump like I used to either. But my point is, like, you can't hang on to that. Unfortunately, you took the chance. The Colts thought they could like maybe have them have a bounce back year or two while they sorted out whoever they want their long-term quarterback to be. It didn't work, so you have to move on. You know, if you hold on to him, all you do is, you know, you just kind of double down on a silly move.
Speaking about quarterbacks, Panthers head coach Frank Wright said a lot of nice things about Derek Carr. And you see a potential move of Carr going to Carolina.
I could see Carr in a few places. I mean, everyone seems to be putting him with the Jets, but I don't really like that fit because the knock on Carr has always been when the weather gets cold, his play declines significantly. You go play in New York and you're playing poorly by October, that's not great. So
you
I think
need
Carolina would
big
definitely
plays in October.
Yeah. And I think Carolina would be the better fit, just based on the weather for lack of more in depth detail. But the other thing is the Panthers are another team. They just keep bouncing around quarterback to quarterback. You know, they tried Mayfield, they tried Darnold. I can't keep track of who all they've tried.
Not
so
healthy.
Is Carr really? I don't know if Carr is really the fix there, but they do have a nice young defense in place. So maybe Carr could be just enough that they could win some games with their defense.
There is another quarterback. Initials AR, Aaron Rodgers. He was on the Aubrey Marcus podcast this week. I listened to the whole thing. It was really tough to listen to, very depressive in a kind of way. He's 50-50. He says he'll go to the Packers, talk to them, see where they're at, but he could go somewhere else. Rumors are the New York Jets, as Jeff and I talked about. Another place I've been hearing is the Las Vegas Raiders and the New Orleans Saints. What are your thoughts over Rodgers' next destination? Or, hey, he's going to put things to bed and hit the retirement club.
Here's my thing, man. If you're going to play in the NFL, if you're anything less than all in, you're going to struggle. You know? So if he's 50-50, he should retire. I mean, that's just – and look, there's no doubt that his arm talent's still there. He can still play at a high level. But I just think if you're that uncertain, if you're saying it's 50-50, I just think that's probably a good sign it's time to hang it up. Because if you just go and play for one of these teams for 1 year – I mean, unless it's a team that's a quarterback away from a Super Bowl, why would you do it? And I think I don't think any of the teams that he's looking at, that's the case. I don't think he takes the Jets to the Super Bowl. I think he makes the Jets a playoff team. I don't think he takes the Jets to the Super Bowl. You know, the Raiders. I mean, again, does he make the Raiders a playoff team? Probably. Does he take them to the Super Bowl? No.
He does have a person or friend that he's very familiar with in Las Vegas, Davante Adams.
Yeah, I mean that part of it's great, but they're not a quarterback away from a Super Bowl.
And the AFC West isn't getting any easier either.
Yeah, I think there's one team that it would make sense from his perspective, but I don't see how they could do it because of what they poured in assets to quarterback, and that's San Francisco 49ers. If you put Aaron Rodgers on the San Francisco 49ers, they're probably the odds-on favorite to represent the NFC. I mean, it's close with them and the Eagles, depending on what they do in the offseason here. But that's the one team that I think it makes sense for him to go play for. But it has to make sense for them, and they traded up to get Trey Lance. And they have to find out what Trey Lance really is. So does it make sense for the 49ers to take that risk? That's the part. I mean, that's tough.
San Francisco has their systems in place. Aaron Rodgers has expressed he wanted to go to the 49ers, I believe. Same for Tom Brady.
At one point. Yeah.
But now he's retired. But, yeah, he was definitely 50-50 when I heard that conversation and whatnot. So a lot going on in the offseason, a lot of question marks. Of course, Lamar Jackson is the big one laying around. Saquon Barkley. Jones for the New York Giants, and of course Orlando Brown, as Jeff talked about. Jeff, anything else before we close this out?
No, man, I'm just excited to get to free agency here and then see who everyone drafts and see where the chips fall from there.
Free agency begins March 15th, and of course the big names might come out first. It just really depends on the situation for each player and team. Question of the day, random question of the day, Jeff, is from these four choices, you could have another team. Who's your favorite sports team that wears the best in blue? And the options are the Michigan Wolverines, Chelsea Football Club from England, St. Louis Blues, hockey team, NHL, or the Indianapolis Colts, or other.
Are we just talking about the uniform, or are we talking about the
uniform
team itself?
Like style, like their fashion.
I like the Blues. I like the Blues. Yeah, for sure.
St. Louis Blues.
Yeah, but if you went all time, and it pains me to say this, because I shouldn't say nice things about them, but the Chargers, those powder blues are nice. Ooh, when they did the powder blue throw. Yeah, those are nice.
have we talked about Sean Payton yet? Going to the Broncos? I think we have, right?
Yeah, we touched on it the last time we spoke. Yep.
And you're not afraid of him?
No. I mean, he's going to, I think he improves them. But not enough to win
the NFC West.
No. I mean, maybe they compete for a playoff spot, possible. I mean, that would be a pretty big jump, but I don't think they're going to win the division yet.
We'll see. This is Russell Wilson's year to see if he's the real deal still. We'll see.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Find out. Jeff Favre, what is the best way to reach you online to talk to you about barbecue?
The best way to follow along is at JT Favre on Twitter.
JT Favre on Twitter. You can follow us on thesportscast.net. The Sportscast One on Twitter and Instagram. We'll be following along the NBA this weekend. Steph Curry's coming back this weekend. Sunday versus the Lakers. No LeBron for the Lakers for at least 3 weeks. He might miss the playoffs, but the Lakers were going to miss the playoffs anyway. So not much of a loss there. And, of course, March Madness begins in a few, I'd like to say a few days, but it's probably a week or so. And we'll be covering that. So a lot going on in sports. NFL free agency takes over the news, to be honest, Jeff. It really does. It takes the air out of the room.
It's crazy how the NFL just dominates so much. I mean, I'm the same. I mean, I watch basketball. I watch the tourney. I watch the NBA. I watch NBA games. But the NFL is a different animal, man. Just a completely different animal.
It's incredible how much this league could dominate. Number one league in the world in revenue and everything else. And coverage. All right, Jeff, yep. I appreciate you coming on this beautiful Friday. Have a great first weekend of March.
All right, thank you.